Good evening and welcome to Monday Night Playhouse on CBC Radio 2. I'm James Roy. Tonight we present Episode 5 in the comic series The Seven Deadly Sins. Written by playwright Greg Nelson, it's the story of a small-town Alberta minister and the big problem he has with a very small flock he administers to. It's been 1 month since Reverend Kevin became the new minister of Dudley Church, and he's sure about two things. When he kissed Michelle, she kissed him back. And he's got to get a congregation pretty soon. So far, there are only 4 people, 2 of which work there. The whole town seems obsessed with sin, but somehow, love has a way of making all that seem, well, irrelevant. Here now is Gluttony, Episode 5 of The Seven Deadly Sins by Greg Nelson.
Things are looking up. I've been in Dudley now for over a month, and although I still haven't managed to attract a single person to my congregation, although as the new minister at Dudley Church I'm basically a total disaster, things are still, in fact, looking up. You see, because I've fallen in love with Michelle. She's from Calgary, and she came to Dudley to do some research, and I guess we hit it off, you know? And anyway, she was staying at the hotel, and then I invited her to stay with me, you know, at the manse. Because the hotel is, it's very exciting. When I think about her, my heart starts beating and I have trouble breathing, you know, normally. And the challenge is the thing I really have to watch. I have to take it slow because I don't want to scare her off, you know. One step at a time, nice and easy, that's the ticket. Although I must say it's hard because I'm raring to go. For example, this morning, perfect example. It's 7 a.m., and like any normal human being, I'm fast asleep.
All right. Okay.
Morning, Reverend.
Harold?
I came by to look at your plates. Brought my tools.
What time is it?
Geez, I wake you up. Sorry.
It's okay.
Hey, Reverend, I gotta tell you my dream. Listen to this. I'm sitting at a table, right? Big table, piled up high with all kinds of real tasty food. We're talking sausages and this thing of, you know, beef, and like ribs, and both kinds of ribs, and like ham and bacon and fried chicken and, oh, yes, this big stack of pancakes and...
Suddenly he stops. He's staring behind me. I turn around and it's Michelle. She's coming down the stairs in her pajamas.
Morning, Harold.
Didn't realize you had company, Reverend.
Huh? Oh, no. Michelle's... She's staying in the spare room.
I'm in the spare room.
Because the hotel is, you know, it's...
Oh, it's really...
That's okay. That's none of my business. Well, I better get started. I'll just go down the cellar now.
Do you need a hand?
No. That's just fine. Just fine. No. You too, excuse me.
He disappears into the kitchen. Michelle is grinning.
You should have seen his face.
And there she is, standing on the stairs. Her hair is all mussed up, and she's looking at me.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. How'd you sleep?
Well, I kept hearing things in my room.
Really?
It's a new house. I have to get used to the noises.
And I have this sudden, overwhelming desire, this urge to just... to tear my pajamas off and then tear her pajamas off and make mad, passionate love to her right there, right on the stairs. But I don't do that. I because that would be rushing things, right? And I'm determined to take it slow.
I'm going to have a tub.
Great. I'll make some coffee. She disappears upstairs. I stand there frozen, my heart pounding, until...
Are you up, Reverend? I saw Harold's truck, figured you must be.
Hi, Verna. Come on in.
So, Reverend, did you get a new car?
Sorry?
The car out there in your driveway, the red one there.
Oh, no, that's not mine.
Oh?
Yeah, that's Michelle's.
Oh.
She's living here, staying just for a while.
I see.
In the spare room.
Uh-huh.
You know, because the hotel is really...
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I see. Well, I'm sure that's none of my business, Reverend.
Is this a problem, Verna?
No, 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 no. I think I'll just go chat with Harold.
He's down in the cellar. He's fixing...
What on earth?
It's the pipes.
The what?
The pipes. Harold is fixing them.
Scared me half to death.
Harold, is everything okay?
Turn off the tap.
What?
The tap. Turn it off.
Oh, just a second. I dash up the stairs. Michelle, turn off the water. And as I reach the landing, I trip on the top step and go crashing headlong into the bathroom door, which springs open. Just as Michelle is stepping into the tub.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm not looking.
What are you doing?
Harold says turn off the tap. My eyes are closed. Sorry. Oh, God. I'm going. I'm going.
No, no, no. Wait. Just give me a second.
Reverend, are you okay?
It's okay, thanks. Everything's fine.
Oh, okay. You can open your eyes. I'm decent.
I'm sorry.
Kevin, Close the door.
You're blushing.
I tripped. I didn't mean...
It's okay.
Harold, there's no water. Sorry.
She's sitting on the edge of the tub in this towel. I try to concentrate. I try to keep my breathing normal.
Listen, while you're here... I was just thinking, you know that old steamer trunk you found in the cellar? The one that's locked up tight?
Uh-huh.
I bet you the key is here somewhere. Here, in this house. I'd like to get a bit more aggressive with my search, if that's okay.
Sure.
Hey, are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling a little faint.
Well, here.
I think I need some air.
Sit down.
No, I should. I better go downstairs.
Okay.
Check on the pipes.
I force myself to leave the bathroom and walk downstairs. My entire body is trembling.
Easy.
Harold's in the kitchen with Verna.
Sorry about that, Reverend.
We're making coffee.
That's okay.
Reverend, there's something we have to say. Me and Harold, we've been talking it over and we're not sure it's a good idea.
That girl there.
Staying here and all that.
What you do in the city, that's your business, Reverend, but you're in Dudley now.
Folks here don't look kindly on this sort of thing.
Jeez, Reverend, you're supposed to be a Christian. Set an example.
How can you go up there and preach to folks when you're living in sin yourself?
Okay, look. This whole sin thing, it's getting out of hand. I'm not living in sin. I mean, what is with this town? Everyone in Dudley is, like, obsessed with sin. It's unhealthy. Really, I mean, no wonder people aren't coming to church. They're too depressed.
But, Reverend...
How can we make the church a happy place that people want to come to?
Well, there's always pancakes.
Pancakes?
Every Sunday, free pancakes. That'd make me happy.
Oh, that reminds me. The reason I stopped by in the first place, I had a brainwave, Harold. Gary Mitchell.
Of course.
We forgot all about him.
Gary Mitchell.
Who's he?
Lives on the edge of town.
Well, we think he does. Nobody's actually seen him for, how long would you say, Verna?
Gotta be 5, 6 years.
Never leaves the house?
Large man, lives with his mother. Supposed to be very religious. I'm sure he'd come to church.
What do you mean, large?
You know, large.
Big.
Great big fella.
Let's give him a call right now. What do you say, Reverend?
Well, it's worth a shot.
I got the number right here. Oh, the phone's dead.
It is?
Oh, geez, that's what those wires were for. Sorry, Reverend, my fault. I'll fix that right away.
Let's go to the cafe. We'll use the phone there. Harold, you keep working. Reverend, follow me.
The Dudley Cafe is hopping. A line of ranchers at the counter. Coffee Row.
Morning, boys.
Verna.
Have you fellas met the Reverend? This here is Reverend Kevin.
Hi there.
Reverend?
I'm sure the Reverend here would like to know why not one of you boys has been to church, wouldn't you, Reverend?
No, Verna, really, that's...
Now, Reverend, maybe you can clear this up for us. Me and the boys was wondering if... Young lady was staying over at the hotel there.
Pretty young thing.
Oh, real pretty. Real pretty, eh? We was wondering, Reverend.
She ain't at the hotel anymore, see?
I wondered if maybe you knew where she'd got to.
Actually, yes, I do. She's staying with me at the manse.
Well, is that so?
Is that so?
Oh, it's just temporary. She's not living there, is she, Reverend?
Well, actually...
Now, listen, boys, anyway. Me and the Reverend, we was wondering, any of you boys might know Gary Mitchell? You know, Gary?
Oh, Gary, yep.
Gary Mitchell.
Yeah?
Any of you boys seen him?
Ooh, Gary.
Gary Mitchell.
Oh, no one sees Gary, never.
No. Got a big dog, Gary.
Hey?
Oh, yeah, big dog.
Oh, yeah, big.
Oh, yeah, big. Real big.
Yeah.
Big, real big.
Uh-huh, I see. Well, thank you, gentlemen. That's very succinct.
Hey, what'd you say?
Gary, when I call him from the payphone, sounds a little odd.
Oh, sure, Reverend. I'd love to go to church.
Oh, you would? Really?
I dream about going to church, but I just can't do it.
Why not?
I can't fit in the truck to get there. And then there's the pews, Reverend. Oh, they're just too small.
Oh, well...
The truth is, I'm a very sinful person, Reverend. I'm full up with sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know what sin I'm specially full up with?
Listen, Gary, let's not do this on the phone, okay? How about I come see you?
Okay. But, Reverend, come alone. Nobody else. Oh, and you better bring something for Butch.
Butch? Who's Butch? Gary? I leave Verna at the cafe and drive to the edge of town and walk up to Gary's house. There's a big iron gate, all rusted out, and on the other side of the gate, Butch. He looks more than capable of eating me. I should have brought some raw meat. I make a run for it and reach the front door with inches to spare. The dog, held up by its chain, is desperately trying to bite me.
Let me in!
There's no answer, but the door is open, so I stumble inside. Gary? The house is dark. At first, all I can see is the TV, and then I make out an old woman.
Hello there! Who are you? Hi, I'm Reverend. Can you turn that down? The TV, turn it down? Thank you. My name is Reverend Druskowski.
You don't have to yell. I'm not deaf.
Sorry, I thought you...
You thought because of the TV. Well, it ain't because I'm deaf. I'm trying to drown out the singing that drives me crazy.
Singing?
It never stops. All day long, I swear to God, I'm going to go up there and chop him up with an axe, and I don't care if he is my own flesh and blood. I'm going to do it. I'm going to murder him. What'd you say your name was?
Kevin. Reverend. I'm the minister.
You looking for Gary?
Yes.
He's up in his room. There he goes. Oh, God, I can't stand it! Gary! Shut up your noise up there! Quiet!
After the church is gone.
Gary's door is closed.
Gary! It's Kevin. We spoke on the phone. Can I come in?
It's open.
The room is dark. I can't see a thing.
Close the door, please, Reverend. Did you bring a treat?
What?
For Butch. Did he get you?
Oh, no. Well, almost.
He's a big eater, Butch. Oh, he's a real glutton. Can't get enough food. Takes after me, I guess. He just loves to eat. Likes to sing, too. Some people call it barking. I don't know if Mother told you, but I'm a bit of a singer myself.
Yes, she...
Yeah, I'm a man of enormous appetites. Guess what I weigh? Guess. 400 pounds, give or take. I guess you know all about gluttony, hey, Reverend?
Gluttony?
Oh, it's a terrible, terrible sin.
Gary, is there a light in here?
I'm partial to the dark, Reverend. It's good for my voice.
Well, I'd really like to see you.
Promise you won't laugh?
I...
Or turn away in revulsion and disgust?
I promise.
Okay, here goes. You ready?
Ready. For a second, I just look at him. I'm too surprised to speak.
What?
He's sitting cross-legged on the bed, wearing overalls, a tractor cap, and work boots.
Is this some kind of joke?
You said you wouldn't laugh.
But, Gary, you're thin.
I'm full of thin. Right full up. I can't stop eating. Guess what? Tomorrow night, I'm singing in New York City at the Met. They're flying me in. I think I'll start with some Puccini.
At this point, I get that feeling again. I've entered the twilight zone. The man before me is not only thin as a rail, he's completely nuts. And yet, crazy or not, I need him. I try to be positive, upbeat, happy.
Hey, Gary, I hate to disappoint you, but I don't even believe in gluttony. I don't think it exists. How about that? Yeah, and you're not sinful at all, are you, Gary? Hey, I bet you're really good. Anyway, listen, maybe when you get back, you know, from New York City, maybe you'd like to come to church. What do you say?
Vincero!
There's going to be pancakes.
Pancakes?
Free pancakes, all you can eat.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Great. Okay. Well, that's just great. Well, we'll see you on Sunday then.
On the way out, I pass by the mother.
It was nice to meet you.
She ignores me.
Have a nice day.
Butch, on the other hand, is very attentive.
Nice, Butch. Nice, Butch. Good dog. Good dog.
I manage to get to my car in one piece. As I drive back to Dudley, I can't help thinking there's something seriously wrong with this town. Meeting Gary has unnerved me. It's almost like everyone in town has been assigned their own personal sin. They just handed them out, you know, arbitrarily. They don't even have to fit. And because Gary somehow got gluttony, everyone thinks he's fat, including Gary. I mean, that's warped. I mean, what is that, anyway? Gluttony. Where does that come from? That's not a sin. It's a trait. The more I think about it, the madder I get. Boy, is this place screwed up. It needs some serious straightening out, and I'm the one that's going to have to do it. It's up to me. Clearly, that's my mission. That's why God has seen fit to send me to Dudley. That, of course, and Michelle, which is definitely God's will. In fact, the closer I get to the manse, the faster I drive. By the time I pull into the driveway, my heart is racing. I find her upstairs in the spare room.
Hi, there you are. Hang on, let me turn this down.
As soon as I see her, the urge comes back. The tearing off clothes urge, stronger than ever. I take a deep breath.
There. Hi.
Hi. How's it going? What's that noise?
Harold.
He's still down there?
Uh-huh.
So, what are you doing up here?
I'm tearing off all the wallpaper.
Yeah, so I see.
Yeah, check it out. Look what's underneath.
Looks like writing.
It is. It's a list.
A list of what?
Well, of food.
You're kidding.
Look! Roast potatoes, ice cream, apples.
How did you find this?
I was tapping on the walls, listening for hollow sounds, thinking there might be a secret compartment somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And I had my ear right up to the wall, and I noticed this word right here. Lock.
Tomato.
Tomato.
Weird.
There could be writing on all these walls.
You think?
It could be some kind of code. It might tell us where the key to the trunk is.
Cherry pie, pork chops, mushrooms.
Rhubarb. Pickled cabbage. Asparagus.
We stand there, side by side, both of us peering at the wall. I mean, right side by side. She's like right beside me, and I can feel this like electrical current flowing between us, and I'm trying to concentrate on the wall, and I'm thinking, okay, enough is enough. I mean, going slow is, well, it's all well and good, but this is taking it too far. And then she says,
you know, there's something about these words I have to say. I find them erotic.
You really?
I mean, listen to this. Salted beef.
Yeah, I see your point. And just when the current between us really starts sizzling and popping, just when I'm about to explode, I mean literally self-combust, right then, the power goes out.
Whoops! Sorry! That's my fault!
Kevin?
Yes?
Don't you think it's time for Harold to go home?
I look at her. I can't believe she's saying what I think she's saying. But I think she is, so I say...
Absolutely.
And I literally run downstairs to the kitchen. Harold is down in the cellar.
How's it going down there, Harold?
Not so good, Reverend. Had a couple of setbacks. Power is gone. So's the water. And so's the phone. Oh, and I had to disconnect the furnace.
Could you come up for a second?
Now, don't you worry, Reverend. I'll get her all fixed up good as new. I hope you're not mad.
No, not at all. I was just thinking, you must be tired.
Oh, not really.
Well, why don't you call it quits for today? You can leave your tools where they are, okay?
I hustle him towards the front door.
But, Reverend, I'm right in the middle of...
Then he sees Michelle.
Oh. Yeah, I... I probably should get going. I gotta go talk to Verna.
Are you okay?
Uh-huh.
You're not gonna hyperventilate?
I hope not.
Good.
And then somehow we're kissing. And then things get completely out of hand. And the house starts trembling and then shaking and then rocking on its foundations. And at some point, the trumpets kick in and the fireworks start shrieking and blasting. And in the end, at last, we do explode. We combust and the entire house comes crashing down around our heads. And then all of Dudley explodes into glorious bits and pieces. And then the universe explodes. The universe! It's the Big Bang all over again. It's incredible. It's a miracle. It's really, really, really great! We exhaust ourselves. We gorge. We feast. We devour. We discover appetites we never knew we had. Until finally, at about 5 a.m., spent, drained, emptied, completely tuckered out, we fall asleep. And an hour or so after that,
Kevin, someone at the door.
What?
The door.
What time is it? All right, I'm coming.
This time it's Harold and Verna, and this time they don't apologize.
Morning, Reverend.
What's wrong?
We've got something to say, and we're going to come right out and say it.
Right straight out.
There's no use mincing words.
That's right, Verna.
We've decided to call a spade a spade.
That's right.
Let the chips fall where they may.
What are you talking about?
We're quitting, Reverend.
What?
We know what's going on in this house, and we're against
it. It's not right.
It's a scandal is what it is.
But you can't quit. You're the only congregation I've got. Without you, there's just me.
Well, that's true.
Without you two, there's no church.
He's got a point, Verna.
All right, then, we won't quit. On one condition.
What?
You preach a sermon this Sunday, confessing how you're a sinner and living in sin, and you come to your senses, and you're kicking her out, and it won't happen ever again.
You're kidding, right?
That's it, we're quitting.
Okay, all right, I'll do it.
We're sorry it's come to this, Reverend.
You're just a young fellow. We understand about all that, don't we, Harold?
We're just trying to help you out.
Give you the benefit of our, you know, experience.
For the joy of dear and I, for the heart and mind's delight, for the mystic...
And so there I am. Sunday morning in the pulpit, ready to preach. The pancake breakfast has bombed. Verna advertised all over town. Posters, flyers, you name it. She made a huge batch of batter, a great big tubful. But the only people that come are Gary and Butch. Afterwards, they come to church, including Butch, who, it turns out, enjoys the hymns as much as Gary.
Quiet, Butch! Butch! Quiet! Sorry, Reverend. Do you want to go outside? I mean it.
That's okay. Everyone's welcome here.
Thank you. Hey, by the way, Reverend, excellent pancakes. My compliments to the chef.
Oh, that would be Verna.
Thank you, Gary. I can't get over how thin you are. Have you been on a diet?
I lost 300 pounds in 2 days.
No.
Yeah, had to get a whole new wardrobe.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, Reverend. You go ahead.
That's okay. Just as I'm about to begin my sermon, I catch Michelle's eye. She's looking at me, and she's smiling. And I find myself smiling back. I can't help myself. I'm up there in the pulpit, grinning like an idiot.
Well, good morning. I'd like to speak to you today about food. I have lots to say about food. I've carefully prepared several intriguing metaphors and delicious pieces of scripture. But before I begin, I had planned this morning to make a confession. A coerced confession, but a confession nonetheless about how I am living in sin. But you know what? The truth is, I'm not. I'm just not. Where I'm living, it's not sinful at all. In fact, it's the closest to God that I've ever been. It's a wonderful place. You see, I'm living in love.
I pause because by this time everyone's smiling. Not just Michelle, but Harold, Verna, Gary, even Butch. I look at them all. I smile right back. And then I continue.
And now to the 78th Psalm. Oh, listen to this. I love this. Mortals ate of the bread of angels. God commanded the skies. He opened the doors of paradise. He rained down upon them manna to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven.
That was Gluttony, Episode 5 of The Seven Deadly Sins by Greg Nelson. In the cast, Richard Side was Reverend Kevin, Bridget O'Sullivan was Verna, Lee Taylor was Harold, Jillian Fargy was Michelle, Bill Dow was Gary, Lillian Carlson was Gary's mother, and the three ranchers were Frank C. Turner, Kurt Max Runta, and John B. Lowe. Original music was composed by Brian Tate. The script editor was Dave Carley. The associate producer was Dagmar Kafunka-Nunn. The recording engineer was Chris Cutress. The Seven Deadly Sins was produced and directed in Vancouver by Kathleen Flaherty. The executive producer was me, James Roy. You can order The Seven Deadly Sins on CD. The cost is just $21 for one episode or $45 for the entire series of 7 half-hours. To order, you can phone 416-205-5966. You can also email us at radiodrama on CD@toronto.cbc.ca, or you can send a check payable to CBC to Radiodrama on CD, Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. Next week, Episode 6 of The Seven Deadly Sins. The romance between Reverend Kevin and Michelle is burgeoning, but the size of the congregation remains at a standstill. That's Episode 6 of The Seven Deadly Sins 1 week from now.